Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. At this time, I'm so happy to announce that we're going to have a baptism here starting the service. So I'd like to invite the people who are coming forward for the baptism to go ahead and come on up here at this time. But as we're waiting for them to come on up, just a reminder. So we are at week four of a sermon series we've been doing on prayer. And so the first one was all about, why do you pray? What is prayer? And then why do you pray? How do you pray for yourself? And of course, today we're going to be talking about how do you pray for others and what that looks like. So we'll be reflecting upon that later on in the service. But here we have, so excited to have a baptism of two young ladies, specifically Ava Marie Montgrain and Chelsea Rose Montgrain. And so, as it's written in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." As well, in the Gospel of Mark, it says, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." And the Apostle Peter says, "Baptism now saves you." And so, Ava and Chelsea, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ crucified. We pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us to belong to you, that you call us to be your own, and I thank you that through the waters of holy baptism, you make us your child, that you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that you give us forgiveness, life, and salvation through this means of grace. And Lord, we pray that all of us would live daily remembering who we belong to, that we belong to you. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates. And so, one of the things that I always encourage sponsors or godparents to do for the ones to whom they are sponsoring is to pray for them. And so, Lisa and Chris, will you take seriously your responsibility as sponsors? Will you be active in having conversations of the faith with Ava and Chelsea? Will you pray for them on a regular basis when they come to your mind, praying that God would guide them and be with them and that they would never fall away from their faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. Fantastic. Well, Ava, do you desire to be baptized this day?
Yes.
Awesome. Then go ahead and come on over here to the baptismal font. Ava Marie Montgrain, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Chelsea, do you desire to be baptized this day?
Yes.
Yes, awesome. Come on over here. Chelsea Rose Montgrain, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have some gifts that we like to give you in honor of this momentous thing. And so we remember how Jesus is the light of the world. And yet as Jesus is the light of the world, he calls his followers to be as well light, like a city set on a hill. And so I give you today a candle to remember that Jesus is the light and that he gives you his light and his love and his life. As well, then I encourage you every day on August 3rd, to remember what God has done for you this day in your baptism. Finally, we pray. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Ava and Chelsea a new birth and holy baptism, made them heirs, members of your Son and Lord Jesus Christ, heirs of the heavenly kingdom. We implore you that they, as they are now your children, that you would keep them in their baptismal grace according to your good pleasure, and that they may faithfully grow and lead godly lives to the praise and honor of your holy name. Amen. All right. Thank you. You can blow those out, and you may go back to your seats. All right, well, we continue, as we always do, remembering who we all belong to. We belong to the triune God. We begin the service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, and to begin this day with baptism, Lord, with people being brought into your kingdom and into your family, Lord, it reminds us of the day that we were brought ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us with your Spirit, Lord, in keeping with the promises that you have made to us. Lord, I pray that you would be present here in our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to see you as the God that you are so that we can give you the worship and praise that you so richly deserve. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins before God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name and my worship and prayers have faltered. I have loved to love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
Sons of men. Good morning. That's a good song. I tear up when I sing that. My name is Steve Mangrum. I'm filling in for Josh Landgraf today, who's feeling a little bit under the weather. First reading today is Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the East, and his sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." It's now time for the children's message. So children, you can start working your way forward. Let's see, Hope has the message for today.
Hey, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. It's so nice to see you all and all of your boundless energy. Okay, who knows what the pastors have been teaching us over the past few weeks? What have they been teaching us about? Does anyone know? Yeah. They've been teaching us about God, yes. They've been teaching us especially about prayer. Okay, sit down. So they've been teaching us about prayer. Who knows what prayer is? Yeah, Kathy. Yeah, it's talking to God. Is prayer pretty important? Yes. Yes. Did you know that Jesus prayed? Yes. Yes, Jesus is God, and he prayed to God, his Father, all the time. He prayed for himself, and he prayed for other people.
One time he prayed in a garden before he was arrested.
He did pray in a garden. Yeah, he prayed a lot, especially if there was something that was going on that was a big deal. Should we pray when there's a big deal? Yeah. So today, our sermon is about praying for other people. Should we pray for other people?
Yes.
Yeah. Who are some people we can pray for?
Anyone.
You can pray for your siblings. Yes, you can pray for your siblings. Who are other people we can pray for?
Your family.
Your family. Yeah, your parents, family. Yeah.
Family.
Yeah, your friends. Absolutely. People in your community, absolutely. So definitely we should pray for our family. What are some things we can pray for our family? Like we can pray for people to get better, absolutely. Do you think sometimes parents have hard days where maybe they're stressed out and you can pray for them that Jesus can help them?
Yeah.
Do you think maybe sometimes if you notice you have a brother or a sister who's kind of sad, you can pray for them, right? So we can pray for the people we love in our family and our friends and our community helpers, people in our community. Yeah. Who else can we pray for? Yeah, you can pray. If you're in the car and you pass an accident on the road, you can pray for the people in the accident and all the helpers. That's a great thing to pray for. What about bullies? Should we pray for bullies?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we should absolutely pray for bullies. Should we pray for people who disagree with us?
Yes.
Yeah. Should we pray for people who don't like us and who are mean to us? Yes. What are some things we can pray for them? Yeah, we can pray for them to feel better. Can we pray that we can have patience and grace with people who aren't kind? Yeah. Can we pray for them that whatever is making them be mean and unkind, that Jesus can help them find kindness and Jesus can help them? Yeah. So absolutely, there's all sorts of people that we should be praying for all the time. Do you have to wait until Sunday to pray for people? No, you can pray for people anytime. So let's go ahead and we're going to start by praying for some people right now. Go ahead and fold your hands with me. Lord, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that we can tell you what we feel and what we need help with. Please help us to remember to pray for the people in our lives, our friends, our families, our teachers, our helpers, and even the people who are hard to love. Give us the words to pray when we don't know what to say. Lord, thank you for always being there for me to talk to. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we're talking about, we're doing our series on prayer, and the first week again was, well, what is prayer? And it's talking with God about through your words or through your thoughts, that is having a conversation with God. And of course, any good conversation has a bit of a back and a forth. And so there's both the words we say to God, but also the pauses in our prayer, the moments where we might be able to hear him speak back to us, not in the same audible sense that obviously if you're having a conversation with a fellow human that you would have, but in the ways in which sometimes, at least I know when I pray, when I talk to others through prayer, that they have a thought pop in their head that maybe, just maybe, that is from their Lord and Savior. But of course, also then important to be in God's Word, the Bible, because any thought that you have that pops in, you always want to check that against what the Bible says, because sometimes you might have a thought that's not from God. But anyway, it's a conversation, it's a dialogue, it's telling God what are your thoughts and seeking to listen to what God wills for you. And of course, then, why do you pray? And as was discussed, again, I encourage all of you, if you did not hear the previous sermons, go back and listen to them. But among other things as to why that you pray, and this is not then exhaustive, but it shapes you. As you pray, it shapes your very character. And as was discussed last week, a big way in which your character is shaped is that as you pray, God, your will be done. And as then you seek to look to his word, as you seek to pray and to know what his will is, then it shapes your very character. So when we think about how is it that we pray for other people? Now, the category of others is obviously very broad. There's others, as kind of was somewhat emphasized by the amazing lady who happens to share a last name with me, who just spoke with the children's message. But there's, of course, praying for your enemies. And Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. There's also the others that you might encounter. If I'm honest, I like to, if I'm constantly driving through construction like it's on my way to work, one of my favorite prayers to pray is, Lord, please protect the workers, help them to be efficient. Because I don't want to be driving for very long through the construction, if I'm honest. But you can pray for just everyday people that you encounter for blessings. And this is something that as a child of God, you are invited to do. But with our readings today, I wanted to encourage us to think about the nature of prayer a little bit in two passages that probably if I asked you, well, what does some Bible say about prayer, you'd probably not readily jump to. But from the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. This is a good dude. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, you know what? It might just be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And it's an interesting portrait of what it could look like to pray for someone else. For you have a father who he doesn't know. But maybe, just maybe, my child has damaged their relationship with their God. And perhaps maybe, just maybe, I can offer this prayer, this sacrifice on their behalf. And in that vein of doing things on behalf of others, then we have our other text. There was one of those days that Jesus was teaching, and there happened to be Pharisees and teachers of the law who were sitting there, and they had come from all of Galilee and Judea and even Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on a roof and they let him down with his bed through the tiles and in the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they began to question, hold on, why is this man speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered them, why do you question your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I say to you, to the paralyzed man, rise, take up your bed and go home. And immediately he rose before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home and glorified God. Now again, I'm pointing this out as we think about prayer because it's a remarkable thing, because Jesus says because of the faith of the friends, he forgives this man's sins and he heals him. Now, I don't want to leave you with a false pretense that we who have faith that we can ask whatever it is and God will always give it to us. Though he does say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So we who have faith are encouraged to go and ask with boldness of our Heavenly Father who desires to give good things to his children. But it's interesting as we think about what it is like to pray for someone else. I think sometimes we narrow the scope of what it is that we should be praying for. I think sometimes we fall into a temptation to say, well, that's not really that big of a thing. I don't want to bother the Almighty with that. Or maybe we've experienced many times where we have prayed earnestly and it just didn't seem like it played out the way that we were hoping. So we give up praying. Maybe we're still genuinely praying for ourselves, but the idea of praying for others, well, I don't know. What does it even do? And I'm in awe as I continually read the scriptures. Here are two small examples of times where our Heavenly Father says, "My child, come to me. I will listen." And thus we are encouraged to pray for other people. But one of the more common encounters I find of sharing with other people, carrying their burdens, is the times where they are not necessarily what is reflected in these. For I am encouraging us to consider praying for those that we know who have sinned against God, as Job did. And I am definitely encouraging those times where somebody is in the state of the paralytic, going to God on behalf of them and praying for them. And yet I find in my life the more common experience is not so grand of a thing as somebody being full body paralyzed, but rather in the individual difficulties of day-to-day life. I know many people who get up in the morning and they are immediately crushed upon waking, as they think about what does this day have in store for them? What does this week have in store for them? What is their life like right now? And it is dismal. I know many people who go about life experiencing what might seem like small hurts compared to the big hurt of paralysis, and yet at the same time is no less crippling. Because this life is difficult as it is rife with sin. It's intriguing to me from what I have heard of cats, is that if a cat is injured, they will go and hide themselves in the farthest corner that they might not be found while they hopefully will wait out their injury. And I find this intriguing in that humans are not so different, are we not? For we are hesitant to put forth our struggles and our pains to those who we know and would admit, yes, they love us. Yes, I know my spouse loves me, my parents love me, my children love me, but I don't want to tell them the struggle I'm experiencing. I know my brothers and sisters love me, my friends care about me, I know this, yet what I'm going through is just so small. Why should I share with them what is on my heart and my mind constantly? And so like a cat, we hide it to ourselves and we totter along hoping maybe if we can just wait it through, it'll all get better. But the reality is that that is not how actually God has designed and shaped the people of God to be. For the temptation is to hide away, whether it's out of a sense of shame and guilt. I don't want others to know what I'm going through. Or out of, again, a demeaning it, saying, well, it's not that big of a thing. Why should I bother other people with that? Or whatever the motivation is that we keep these things to ourselves. And yet the only purpose that that really actually serves is for the purposes of the enemy, the devil, who seeks to separate and divide us. So in part, my encouragement to you this day is as you are struggling with the things of daily life, don't give in to the temptation that says to keep it to yourself, but rather share what you are struggling with those who you know love you, who will pray for you. But another perspective I want to share with you is to why it is that we pray for others. Comes down to something that was said first at Sinai and then later on echoed by the Apostle Peter. Because God called Abraham first to follow him and said, "Come, follow me. I will make you into a great nation, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And from there, his family grew, and Joseph and Jacob's family, they went down to Egypt, and they multiplied, and then they were slaves in Egypt, and God brought them out of Egypt. And there at Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with them, and he said, "You, my people, you are to be a nation of priests." Well, what is a priest? A priest is someone who intercedes to God on behalf of others. And so the priests were tasked with, the other people would come and bring offerings, and the priests would offer up the offerings and sacrifices on behalf of those people. Yet God says, "You are a nation of priests." It is through you who have a relationship with God that the people who do not know God might know God. For you will intercede on behalf of them who will not intercede on their own behalf. And Peter echoes this when he says to all Christians, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God for his own possession." So why do you pray for other people? Because you are a priest. You don't have to have the vocation of pastor to do that. It is just part of being a Christian that you are called to offer up intercessions, prayers on behalf of other people. And this is a beautiful and important thing. Because the reality is that, again, as I said before, this sinful world is hard. And it is dark and dismal, and there are times where you will not want to wake up in the morning. And in those times when anyone experiences that, they will feel alone. I've experienced before where I have been in a room filled with people, and I felt utterly alone in that moment. Maybe you have too. Because when we are in our darkest place, we don't want to share with others what we are experiencing. Because for some reason we think maybe it'll get worse. And when someone else is struggling in that way, what they need, what they desire, yet they will not ask for it, is a reminder that they are not alone. And it's a beautiful thing what God has done in giving us the community of faith. Because in it and through it is how he communicates to his people, "You are not alone. I love you. I am with you." So as you pray for other people, you remind them that they are not alone in their struggles. They are not to be a person without hope of a light at the end of the tunnel, at a future that is not this darkness and struggle. And so you pray for other people, listening to what it is that they are experiencing from their perspective. I've known many people as well, when they are there in the pit, in the darkness, that they don't know how to pray. Because all they're experiencing is pain and hurt and suffering. And that question of, "God, are you actually there?" And you have the blessed opportunity to sit with them in their misery and darkness. And as you listen, you can pray for them and with them. My encouragement to all of you is, if you ever find yourself in an opportunity where you can say to someone, after you've heard what they have gone through, and you say, "I'll pray for you," pray for them right there. Now, I get it. It's easy for me, a professional prayer, to say to you, pray for them in person. Professional in the sense that I pray on Sundays very often, and I visit people and I pray with them. And if you have not typically gone and prayed out loud with other people, I assure you, yes, it will be awkward the first few times. And it is an awkwardness that is worth pressing through and pushing on. Because the reality is that as a person is struggling and suffering, it is good news, yes, to hear that a fellow Christian is praying for them, but it is so much more blessed for them to hear in that moment a prayer with them and for them. You, as you pray for them, have an opportunity to listen to them and to speak into words what they themselves might not be able to construct. And in so doing, you help them to tangibly know that they have been heard, that God has not abandoned them, that he loves them, because you yourself have now embodied the work of God working in you and through you for their behalf. And this is a beautiful thing that God does through prayer. Because you are a royal priest. You are a part of a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. So never think, oh, it's just a small thing to pray. In any difficult situation, don't give it the temptation to say, oh, is there anything else I could do than prayer? It just seems so little. You have the glorious opportunity to go to the creator of the whole universe and say, God, my brother, my sister is struggling right now. Help them. Be with them. Guide them. Help them to not feel alone. Help them to know that you are right there walking every step of the way with them in their plight. This is a beautiful calling that all Christians have. Do not think so little or so lightly of it. For you have a high calling. For you go forth and you share the light of Jesus with all those that you come into contact with. Amen.
That is who you are. see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
Please stand. My friends, our God has revealed himself to us. He has introduced himself. He has told us, he is in Scripture. He has told us who he is, what he has done, how he feels, what he wants, all of this. And so let us now confess the faith that our God has revealed to us about himself using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite the seniors who have graduated and are heading off to college to come forward. And yes, Becca, I mean you. I know, I'm so mean, aren't I? There are two more seniors that are graduating that aren't here today. It's Matthew and James Teuscher. So we're going to be praying for them, too. You get to represent. All right. Let's pray. You guys, listen, I'm sorry. Before we pray, let me put this in context. What's about to happen here is she's been on mission trips before. But now she's going on a more long-term mission trip, only this time you're going to be heading off to college, that really crazy, off-the-wall College of the Ozarks. If you don't know anything about it, it's a very Christian, very wonderful place. So it's not a really crazy one. But nevertheless, there are going to be people there who are still going to need help. There are people there that are going to need encouragement. People there that are going to be reminded that the God who loves them is with them and that you can actually take them to God in prayer, encourage their faith, and do all the things that we do as Christians, right? And so as Becca heads off into the world to do these things and to live her life out in the big world there, let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for Becca, Lord, and the incredible faith that you have given her. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage her at all times and in all ways, Lord. Send people to her who can encourage her in her during the difficult times, Lord. And at the same way, Lord, use her to be your spokesperson, to be your hands and feet, Lord, to be your person in this world so that other people can be blessed through her. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible blessing that you give us, that we get to work alongside you in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Miss Becca. Some things. That was very nice. No, some things that help you to remember us and the people who are still here praying for you. Okay? You bet. All right. I gotta say, I love this church. I'm a fan. I can't help it. This is just wonderful because we're sending Becca off into the world to be a young Christian lady and to do the things that God raised her to do. And yesterday we had a team of people here spreading 100 yards of mulch. Have you ever seen a pile of 100 yards of mulch? It's a lot of mulch. And we have Boy Scouts out here driving these little buggies around, dumping mulch, and people. It was the most beautiful thing to see God's people in action doing God's work, and it's just such an honor to be here. I love it. Folks, it's time to pray. And as we come into our time of prayer, we just have a few things that we need to remember. First of all, we got a few people who are going through some difficult stuff, and just, you know what? We're priests, right? We stand in the gap for these people and we pray for them. Ed Ployer, he was supposed to have bypass surgery. He was supposed to have had bypass surgery. They did stents and then they said, now you have to wait a month before we can do the bypass. Then he went into the hospital to get the bypass and then his kidney started to bleed. So they had to do surgery to stop the bleeding. And then they say, now you have to wait another month. Well, it's bad enough to hear that you need bypass surgery. It's even worse when you have to wait 2 months to get it. And so we want to be praying for him and his family as they're waiting and just pray that God would protect him and guard him and keep him and that everything would continue to go well. We have a celebration today. I've heard a rumor, a little bird whispered in my ear that Kevin is here today. Kevin Ross is a member of our church. He's an amazing guy. God likes him a lot. For the last like 10 years, probably longer, his heart's been getting worse and worse and worse until he got put on the transplant list. And like days, not very long after he got put on the transplant list, he called me and said, Pastor Bob, they found a heart. Which that's not how that works, but it's how it worked. And Kevin, I think, is in church here with us this morning. And it's just an amazing blessing that we get to rejoice with our brother in Christ as he is experiencing new life, right? We also want to be praying for all the expectant mothers that we have in church. We have three that I know of. There's probably more out there, but it's just such an incredible blessing that God has just continued to bless St. Mark's and these families with beautiful children, and we just want to be praying for them as they continue to carry their children. And what else? Oh my goodness, well, the new life that we had in the baptism this morning. Betty McMullen is here with us today, so we've been praying for her for a long time. What an incredible community our God has given us. Let us pray for one another and just turn to our God, who is in control of everything and can handle all the craziness and the messiness of our lives. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for just being our God, for guiding us through this life, Lord. Even though we are weak, you are strong. Even though we are frayed and incapable, you, Lord, miraculously make things work out so that you can be glorified and your people can be served. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in the hearts and minds of every person in our church, Lord. Lord, we pray especially for the young mothers who are that are currently carrying children. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to protect and guard them. Provide them, Lord, with everything that they need, Lord. Bless the lives of these little children and pray that they would just be born healthy and that they would be able to live out their incredible life, Lord, for your glory. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with Ed as he is waiting and waiting and waiting for this surgery, Lord. I pray that you would give him patience and protect him, Lord, and keep him healthy. Guard his heart, Lord, so that he will be healthy when it's time for that surgery, and that you'd bless the hands of the surgeons, Lord. so that he can continue to do the work that you have given him to do in this world. And Lord, we thank you so much for Kevin, Lord, and the heart that you have provided for him. Lord, I pray that you would continue to keep him strong, that you would help him, Lord, to just continue to live out this life that you have given him to your glory and in your service. Lord, I pray that you would be with Betty McMullen, just continue to keep her healthy. Thank you, Lord, that she is with us today. And please continue to bless Ava and Chelsea. Help them, Lord, to continue to grow in this faith, to love you and trust you more every single day. All this we bring before you, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm sorry, one thing, this is one of those Bob moments. There's one other person we need to pray for today. Jan Beasley normally sits over here on this end of the church. She called Steve Mangrum, one of our elders, this morning and told us that she was on her way to the hospital. She was feeling like she had pneumonia. So let's pray for her too, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for all the people in our congregation, and especially, Lord, we pray now for Jan, that she would, that you would just continue to be with her and guard her, her lungs, Lord, help her to recover quickly, help the doctors to figure out what's wrong and get her back to living her life. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercies. In your name we pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Is he worthy of this?
Our God is so good. He has come to us once again in body and in blood, and to deliver to us in that body and blood forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, the very things we so desperately need. Truly, he is amazing. And so as we have received this body and blood, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as you go your ways. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the final song together.
Strength for us as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength for us as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort the upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
have a seat. Children, I'm going to release you now for Sunday school. You can meet Miss Lauren in the back there. The rest of you, we are coming up on another school year. Believe it or not, it is upon us. And so as we're getting ready to start again, I just want to remind people, sixth grade communion training is coming up. There's information in the bulletin. Confirmation for 7th and 8th graders is coming up. If the 7th and 8th graders have not yet had communion training, then sign up for that as well. Backpack blessing is coming up. What else is on this list? Let me think. The picnic is coming up on the 24th of August. That's going to be in Kircher Park. So yeah, we're got all kinds of stuff fixing to happen. So I would encourage you guys, stay and read the announcements, because otherwise you're going to miss out on stuff. Camilla's, when is that, tomorrow? Oh, Camilla's is tomorrow. So help us raise money for people in Guatemala by eating out at Camilla's. Men, you can be a hero. Exactly. All right, very good. My friends, it has been wonderful worshiping with you all this morning. God's blessings on your week, and Pastor Josh and I will be in the back to chat.